Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good to see you all and be here. Thank you, Pastor Kyle, for that for the opportunity to come and speak to you all this morning about what the Lord has kind of been talking to us as a church body about and about the kingdom of God. And I'm really excited. I hope you all are excited this morning as well. Amen? Amen. And before we get started, I want you to make sure that you have your sermon notes in your worship guides so that we can go through some of these things together. And over the last week, Pastor Kyle started preaching a little bit about letting your light shine. And for those of you who are here, you remember that we started out kind of with a theme scripture for us to look at. And we're going to look at that same scripture again today as we get ready to get started. And that's found in Matthew 5, chapter 14 through 16. And it says that you are the world's light, a city on a hill, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light. Let it shine for all. Let your good deeds glow for all to see, so that they will praise your heavenly Father. This morning, I want to continue talking to you a little bit about that light and continue talking to you a little bit about letting your light shine. And I remember Pastor Kyle last week, as he began his message, he talked a little bit about that old song that some of you may have sung when you were in Sunday school growing up or vacation Bible school, for those who might remember something like that, about this little light of line, I'm going to let it shine. And it's a great song because we talk and we teach the kids about letting our light shine, but there's something that's a little off about that song because it says that it's a little light. And I don't know if any of you all know, but I know that the light of Jesus Christ can be a bright light in this world, amen? And it's a light that we can let shine very bright. And so I don't like to call it a little light. I like to call it a great big light. And so this morning we want to talk about your light and how you can let your light shine and where you can let your light shine, amen? So let me begin with a prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to hear your word and to hear from you. We ask that you would speak to our hearts and speak to our minds today, God, about the direction that you would have us to go. We bless you and we thank you for your word. Let it take root right now, God, as we plant these seeds forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this morning, I want to briefly talk to you all about your sphere of influence and that light. And like I said, who you can have an effect on, who you can impact with the light that Christ has given for you this morning. And I want to kind of set up the story of the scripture that I'm going to talk to you all about. And we're talking here and looking at Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas, they were in Rome, and they were venturing to Rome, sharing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And while they were in Rome sharing this message, they came to a city because they were planning on sharing this message. And there happened to be this lady that was following them around the city. And she's yelling it and yelling, telling everybody what they're there to do. They're here to share the gospel, the good news, the message of Jesus Christ. And for day after day after day, they keep following them. And how many people know that if you've got something yapping at you or following you all the time, eventually you're going to get sick of that? And I have a daughter. And she's very animated, love her to death. But those who are parents in here understand that sometimes your kids can say some things and can continue to what we may call nag or bother us over time for those things that they desire, or those things that they want. And they will keep asking the same question until they get the answer that they want. And I know it's funny because sometimes my wife and she, she'll be in the car and we'll be driving and she'll kind of turn around and say, it's quiet time. She'll get to a place, and that could take maybe 10 to 15 seconds for us. But Paul and Silas, they're going day after day after day, and it was not till a couple days after they were in this city that Paul said, I've had enough, and he cast the demon, the evil spirit, out of the lady. And there were some people that got upset about this, and they caused this ruckus and said that Paul and Silas were causing havoc and commotion. And that's where we pick up here in Acts 16. And I just want to read this story for you here. It says that the judges went along with the mob. They had Paul and Silas' clothes ripped off, and they were ordered a public beating. And after beating them black and blue, they threw them into jail, telling the jailkeeper to put them under heavy guard so there would be no chance of escape. He did just that, threw them into the maximum security cell in a jail and clamped leg irons on them. Along about midnight, Paul and Silas were at prayer and singing a robust hymn to God. The other prisoners couldn't believe their ears when then, without warning, a huge earthquake, the jailhouse tottered, every door flew open, and all the prisoners were loose. Startled from the sleep, the jailer saw the door swinging loose on their hinges. Assuming that all prisoners had escaped, he pulled out his sword and was about to do himself in, figuring he was as good as dead anyway. When Paul stopped him, "Don't do that. We're all still here. Nobody's run away." The jailer got a torch. He ran inside, badly shaken. He collapsed in front of Paul and Silas and led them out of the jail and asked, "Sirs, what do I have to do to be saved, to really live. They said, "Put your entire trust in the Master Jesus, and you will live as meant to live, and everyone in your house included." This is an interesting story, and we're going to get a little deep into this story and really understand what it was that Paul and Silas were going through, where they were in their situation, and how they chose to let their light shine despite being in a dark place. And as we get into it, there are a number of places that we have influence in our lives. And Paul and Silas had a chance to have some influence here, as we see that they had influence not only on those people that were in the jail with them, they were prisoners, but also they had influence on the jailer. And so the first check mark that we're going to take a look here is my people. God has called us to have an influence on your people. The people that you live with, the people that you work with, the people that you see on a daily basis, some of your friends and closest family members, God has called you to have an influence on them. You see, God expects us to have influence on those people that are close to us. We see throughout this story that not only did the jailkeeper, if you continue on reading the story, and I really challenge you to do it because it is an exciting one, but the jailkeeper was not the only one who was changed by this experience. It was also his family. And it says that his whole family ended up coming to Christ and giving their life to Christ. And so it wasn't just the people that were close to him, but it was also those people that he was able to then go touch. And then the jailer was able to go touch his family members. And I'm sure that down the line, through time, everyone who they came in contact with were touched by experiencing the love of Jesus Christ. Your ministry can only be as effective as your ministry at home is. This is something important for us to understand. If your ministry at home isn't effective, it's not probably going to be too effective outside of the home. It's an important thing for us to understand and to realize that if you don't care for the people within your own household, your children, husbands, wives, that it's going to be hard to care for others. Those that you interact with on a daily basis are the people that you probably want to see come to Christ first. If we're going to be honest with ourselves and we understand the love of Jesus Christ and what God has done for us, that's something that we get excited about and we want to share that with other people. Amen? Amen. And so I believe that there are many, many people, many that are sitting in here right now today, that you have some people, some family and some friends, some people that you may even call family that are really close to you that you could simply just invite. Invite them to see and to share in the love of Jesus Christ by coming to church on a Sunday morning, or invite them to a small group, an opportunity for them to get involved with other people who love Jesus. Well, you may say, "Well, why? Why should I do that?" I'm glad you asked. Because you've experienced that love. And when you experience the love of Jesus Christ, it's something that you desire for other people to experience. You want for other people to see and to take joy in that. If you've got a basketball team, I know for me, I love the Warriors. I don't know how many of you all like I'm a Warriors fan, okay? I've been a Warriors fan for quite a while. And, man, when the Warriors just start killing everybody, all my friends, I just try to convince them, "Hey, you know, sorry, Cleveland. It's not there. It's not going to happen." Because I want them to experience the joy that I'm having throughout the course of my season, throughout the course of my postseason. I'm having a lot of joy, and I want you to join on in with me. and let you know that maybe that situation isn't the place that you should be. I'll leave it right there. But it says in Ephesians 2 and 12, it says, at that time, you didn't know Christ. You were foreigners to the people of Israel, and you had no part in the promises of God that God had made to them. You were living in this world without a hope and without God, and you were far from God. But, I love big buts in the Bible. But, because what we understand is that when there is a but in the Bible, it is changing whatever that situation is into the situation and the promises that God has for us. Amen? And it says, but Christ offered his life's blood as a sacrifice and brought you near to God. Isn't that something we can get excited about? He's brought us near to God because of his blood. And that's why we have the desire to share that love with others. It's important to know that you have more influence than you think, and that you, and that the way that you live affects more people and either turns them towards God or away from Christ. So we're able to see that it's your people that you have an influence and an impact on, but also my place, which is the second check mark. My place. It's not only the people, but it's also the place that you're in. It says in Acts 16, 23, it says, after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. And when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Think about this situation. Paul and Silas, they're in jail, and they've been beaten, and now they've been put in jail, and they've been ordered to be placed in the inner cell. This is like solitary confinement, but with other people. I happened to do a little bit of research and try to see, man, what is this jail really like? And in ancient Rome, what would happen is they would take them, there's kind of the general jail, and they're behind bars or however they decided to do it, but it says that they were in the inner cells. And when you do a little more research, you find out that there was typically kind of a downstairs basement type hole that they would throw these prisoners into. And during this time, this hole also held some of the sewage from Rome. So not only were they in jail, but they were in a pretty crappy situation. And could you imagine being in a situation like that where you're not only have no sunlight, but you also have this mess to deal with, and you're trying to understand why God has put me in this situation, why God has put me in this place in my life. How am I supposed to deal with this? How am I supposed to function? How am I supposed to praise God? And it says Paul and Silas at midnight, the darkest time, when there was no light, seemingly no light, and they were dealing with all this mess, but they still praise God. They still let their light shine in the midst of their situation. And somebody here today, I don't know who it is, you might be in a pretty dark situation in your life, but I want you to know that there is a light, and that is Jesus Christ. And when he's inside you, you can shine bright. And it doesn't matter how dark your situation is. It doesn't matter what you're feeling on the inside or what you're dealing with. There's a light, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. And I believe greatly that God, he's going to put you in places that he wants you to be in. He will put you in places he desires for you to be in so that you can find out how to turn on the light and let the light shine. How many people here have ever felt like they were in a dark place? If you've ever felt like you're in a dark place, I want you to understand that that is a place that God desires to put you in so that you can shine. See, there's places that you don't enjoy, and God wants us to take advantage of those places to let his glory shine, just like Paul and Silas. And many times your vocation, whatever that job is that you've been placed in, that is an opportunity for you to shine. There's places where there is no joy or seemingly no peace. Take advantage of that. There are dark places that God puts us in, and they are prime real estate to shine. Yeah. Yeah. I'll say that one more time. There are dark places that God puts us in. Those are the prime real estate places for you to shine. I remember when I first got here to Fort Wayne, after moving from California, and he was driving around, and we were first beginning to look for some different places to call our church home. And I just started doing some research online, started driving around, and I was like, man, there are a lot of churches here in Fort Wayne. I mean, it seemed like everywhere I went, there was a church there. But there were also a lot of strip clubs in Fort Wayne. And I was like, okay, this is a little different. I had a conversation with one of my assistant coaches. He used to live here in Fort Wayne, and he said, yeah, Fort Wayne, it's known as the city of churches and strip clubs. And that's a pretty dark statement. However, I believe that God has placed Elevate City in this city as a light to shine and cast out the darkness. I believe that the work that we're doing here at Elevate City is something that can shine a light that's so bright that can cast out any darkness that there is. And that's what God has called us to do, and that's what God has called us to be. In the most dark places that we experience, in the most dark situations of our life, He has given us a light that can shine brighter than any other light there is, and that can cast out any darkness. That moment that you turn on the light, all darkness is gone. All darkness can cease. That's the power of Jesus Christ. And that's what God has called us to be. See, you were either born here or you were moved here for a purpose and for a reason. You are here for a reason. You are where God has put you because He wants you to be there. I can remember an experience I had, Team USA, and this was, this was a while ago, about 8 years ago. And I had made the national team. Was over in China, and we had a training camp that was about an hour flight away from Beijing. And while we were there, I was asked and given the opportunity to help lead and teach some Bible studies. And I said, wow, this is great. You know, I'm here in a place. I'm doing what I love to do, running track and field. And now I get to also add on ministry and get to help lead some people in Bible study. This is great. Then we went on, we competed, we did really well, and the teammates that I had on my relay team, they gave me the opportunity to speak for the team. And in a place, in a country, China, where you can't freely worship Jesus Christ, I had the opportunity to proclaim the name of Jesus on TV for millions, billions around the world. This is an opportunity God gave me. But however, the very next year, I didn't have the best season, and the national team was going to Berlin, and they chose that. I actually started running pretty well after not making the individual races for Team USA, so they said, well, we'll bring you over and let you run on the relay team. Cool. I have to run on a relay team. I'm doing well. I'm still getting to, you know, be a part of what is going on here, and I get there. It happened also, and I have to let you all know this, this was actually during Ariel and I's anniversary. So, I happened to be gone thousands of miles across the world, across the Atlantic Ocean, and I'm going here to compete, and I get there, and it comes down to the time for them to select who runs on the relay team, and politics pops into play, and I don't get put on the team. So, I'm in Germany during my anniversary, away from my wife, and now I find out I don't get to compete. It was pretty dark in here. I wasn't happy. I was not happy at all. To top all that off, someone came to me from, I had done some work with Athletes in Action, had participated in some of their Bible studies and some of the things that they were doing and did some stuff with them when I was in college. And they came to me and they said, hey, we'd like for you to preach a message while you're here. And I wasn't necessarily in the mood to preach a message. being in the situation I was dealing with. However, I had to do a lot of praying and seeking God, and that light began to creep in. And I understood that even though I was in a dark situation, in a dark place in here during that time, God had still called me for a purpose and for a plan. And I had the opportunity to preach to people from all over the world and to share the love and the light of Jesus Christ. And so sometimes you may be put in some dark places and maybe dealing with some difficult things, but you have a sphere of influence that is great and that is mighty, and you can touch various people with the love and the message of Jesus Christ wherever you may be. Amen? And so you may say, well, where can I start? How can I get involved in this? And one of those first places you can get involved in that is with our Serve Day we have here in a couple weeks. And so we would love for you to get involved. You can sign up online, or next week you can sign up at the tent we have available. Various different projects where you can get involved, where you can let the love and the light of Jesus Christ shine. We have a project. One of the projects that we're doing is we're painting the garage of an elderly woman. We're letting people know that our God is great and that our God loves all people. And so those are some of the various projects you can get involved in. We'd love to see you participate in those things. So you don't have to be a minister to stand up on this stage and to tell other people about the good news of Jesus Christ. There's a quote that I love it from Charles Spurgeon. It says, "Let us never forget the light must first be imparted to us, or it can never go forth from us. We are not lights of the world by nature. At best, we are but lamps unlit until the Spirit of God comes." Amen. And He's placed the light inside of you. And we are unlit until His Spirit gets inside, becomes one with our spirit, and then we can move forward in the things that God desires for us to do. So we have our people, we have our places, and we have, thirdly, our passions. What are your passions? What are those things that God has placed inside of you that you love to do? God wants to use those passions for the kingdom of God. Whether it's working with the city, whether it's with nations and kids, elderly, the homeless, He can use you where you want to be used. And finding your passion is the first step. And that's why I love here our growth track at Elevate City. We have the opportunity to invest in you and to help you find out what your passions are. What are those things that God's placed inside of you? And those passions aren't just to be used right here inside these four walls. We're to take the passions and use them outside so that we can better the kingdom of God, so we can better this city, this nation, the people that God desires for us to come into contact with. Amen? And so wherever you're passionate, you will begin to have impact. Wherever you are passionate, you can begin to have impact. That's why we also love the small groups, because they help you grow and develop in your passions. So once you find out what your passions are, you want to find out how I can be useful, how I can get those things that help me grow and help other people grow. So one of my passions for quite a while has been fitness and training. And when I kind of ended up my track and field career competing, I started personal training some people. And one of the things I loved about it during that time was I didn't have just the opportunity to help them physically, but I also had the opportunity to help them spiritually. So I used my passions and used them in the place that God had called me to and the people that God had called me to, so that I could then make a difference for the kingdom of God. And I would insert my faith and I would insert all those various things so that I could make a difference for God. And so what I really want to talk to you about is making a difference here. You've got a sphere of influence, but how can you make a difference? Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, make a difference. Make a difference. All right, find another neighbor and say, make a difference. God has called us all to make a difference. Wherever we are, He's called us to make a difference. First of all, in our manner. In our manner, God has called us to make a difference. In Colossians 4 and 5, it says, "Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." One of the hard things for us to do if someone gets on our nerves is to have good manners. Yeah? It's a hard thing, but people see how you act, even if you don't think they do. People, children, I could talk about my daughter again, all right? She loves to imitate her parents. Boy, does she love. And I'm sure some of you that have kids know that your kids love to imitate you. They hear what you say and then they repeat it. They do. And if your children have that amount of ease with imitating you, how are the people that are not part of the family of God seeing you? If they're not part of the family of God, how do they see you? How do they see your actions and your reactions to different situations? I remember my wife, she was eating something. I don't remember what it was she was eating, but it was good. And in her words, she killed it, okay? And so when she had that, my daughter ended up having the same exact food. And next thing you know, I hear her from the sitting at the table saying, "Killed it." She easily imitates those things that she hears and that she sees her parents do. And that's the same way that the rest of the world will do. If we call ourselves children of the Most High God, we call ourselves kings and heirs to God and followers of Jesus Christ, what do they see? Do they see the love of Jesus Christ? Do our manners have an impact on the world positively? We as the body of Christ should want the light of Christ to shine to all areas of the world. And it's imperative to those who are not believers that they see us acting in a way that resembles Christ. You may be the only Jesus Christ that they ever see. It may be you and nobody else. You may have friends who have never been to church. You may come in contact with people who have never heard the message of Jesus Christ. How are your manners? It says in the scripture that we're to be salt. Salt not only flavors, but it also prevents corruption. The Christian speech should act not only as blessing to others, but a purifying influence within a decaying society in the world. In 1 Thessalonians 4:11, it says, "Stay calm, mind your business, do your own job. You've heard all this from before, but a reminder, it never hurts. We want you living in a way that will command the respect of outsiders, not lying around sponging off your friends." I love that the way it puts that. Nobody wants a Kramer from Seinfeld or a Broman from Martin. If you've ever seen either of those two guys, nobody wants one of those people coming in their house raiding their fridge. That's what the scripture is talking about here. Those are manners, things that show that we are considerate of other people. Another scripture that says that do everything that you can to live peaceably with all people. Yeah. With all people. No matter if they do you wrong, no matter what they say to you, we continue to be the light of Jesus Christ. Yeah. This other quote I love, it says, "A man's manners are a mirror in which he shows his portrait." Mm. What is your portrait saying? What is your portrait saying? So number one was our manners. Number two is our moment. How can we make a difference in our moment? See, some of you are wanting for that perfect moment. And I'm sorry to tell you, but it ain't coming. Your perfect moment will never be here. There is never a moment of perfection where everything lines up exactly the way that you want it, exactly the way that you think it will be, so that you can then begin to move into the things that God will want you to move into. You've got to begin taking some steps right where you are. I can think about, I talk a lot about track and field because that's something that I was involved in for a long period of time, and I'm still a coach. In track and field, what happens is that we have wind gauges, and they determine how fast or how hard the wind is blowing either at our backs or in front of us. And the perfect wind reading is 0.0. There's no wind blowing, right? However, I can't think of too many races where there's a 0.0 reading when I get started for my race. And if I decide that I'm going to wait for that perfect condition, the gun will never fire. The starter may call us to the blocks. He may call us to the set position, but then he will have us to stand up because the wind may have shifted or changed. And if you never let the wind If you wait until the wind is perfect where it needs to be, you'll never begin moving to where God desires for you to go. You'll never reach the finish line. You'll never reach those things that God is calling to because you weren't willing to step out on faith and begin moving the direction that God wants you to move when he wants you to move there. Amen? Is anybody understanding this here? That it's not always going to be perfect. But if we begin to tap into our faith, and we understand that God is calling us to make a difference right now. Right now in this very moment that we can begin moving where God desires for us to move because we know that we have the power of Jesus Christ on the inside of us. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. It won't happen. And in Psalm 37, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delights in his way. You got to start stepping. You got to start moving. You got to start taking the initiative into what God is calling you to take the initiative for. And when you do that, it says that the Lord will order your steps. You won't be trying to do this thing on your own because you're trusting in God. You're relying on God. You're relying on the things that he's placed inside of you, the gifts, the talents, the passion that he's placed inside of you. That's what God is calling us to. And we can try to do this thing on our own, but it says, in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. We can plan, and until we start walking, we won't know what plan God has for us. And so God's here to help guide you in those situations of uncertainty, if we allow him to. If we don't allow him to, we'll be like a ship that is tossed back and forth, that doesn't have a sail, that has no clear direction or path on where he's going. One of my favorite movies is The Pirates of the Caribbean. It is my favorite movie. And Jack Sparrow, he's got this compass, if anyone's ever seen the movie. And every time he takes out this compass and opens it, it just spins around in circles. Because the compass only goes to the places where his heart truly desires. I want you to understand that without Christ, your compass is going to keep spinning. Because you will have no clear direction or no path in your life. And if we don't rely on Christ, then our compass is going to keep spinning round and round. Amen? And so it's funny because there are moments that God calls us to. And I believe that that moment is now, that God is calling us to step out. In the words of the famous theologian Eminem, you only got one shot. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. The moment is now. And finally, your message. Our message. 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but in your hearts, revere Christ the Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Christ did it with gentleness and respect. In 2 Corinthians, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He's not here to count your sins against you. He's not. But he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. This is our message this morning. That Christ wants nothing more than a relationship with you. He's not looking for you to follow a set of rules or a set of things that you must do. He wants your heart. That's what he wants. He wants your heart. He wants someone to say, Jesus, I know I've been trying to do this thing on my own, and I know I can't. I know I've been trying to figure out what steps to take, but I've left you out of the picture. I know I can't do that on my own. He wants to take you where he needs you to minister to who he needs you to minister to. So here's my final thought. Be all God has called you to be. Do all all that he has called you to do. Help everyone. He needs you to help. And be a part of the answer. This morning, that's what God wants from us. Be all God's called you to be. Do all that he's called you to do. Help everyone who needs your help and be a part of the answer. Jesus wants you to tell of the amazingness of what he's done for you. He's placed you here to share his love and to be his witness. Remember what it said in Ephesians one more time. It says to remember that time when you were separate from Christ. You were without a home, without citizenship, and you were foreigners without a promise. But now Christ Jesus, who you were once far away from, we were all once far away, but because of his blood, we've been made near. Because of what Christ has done for each and every one of us, we have the opportunity to be made near, to be made whole, to experience the freedom of Jesus Christ, to experience the love of Jesus Christ. You were once far from Jesus, but you've been brought home. Let me pray. Dear Father, we love you and thank you for your word. We thank you that you're teaching us and telling us, Lord, how we can be involved and who we can talk to, who we can have an influence on, who we can make a difference for. In this city, in this place, we ask that this word would just begin to speak to us and to penetrate our hearts. Lord, give us the courage to step out on faith, to let our light shine, to penetrate the city, God, to penetrate all darkness in our lives, in our families, on our job, wherever it may be. We thank you for your light, Jesus, and we ask that you would use us, Father, for your kingdom. I ask that you would continue to keep all your heads bowed. And there might be some of you here today in this place that may say, I've never experienced this love of Jesus. I've never been in a place where I've been able to have direction, clear direction and paths in my life that I believe God wants to take me to and steps that God wants to lead me along. This morning is that opportunity for you to say, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to follow in the path and the direction that Jesus has for me. Or you may say that I've been far away. I once accepted Christ. I once made him Lord of my life, but I've gone backwards, and I'm not allowing him to lead me anymore. This morning, for both of those, there's an opportunity for you to receive Christ. If you're saying yes to either one of those, on a count of three, I just want you to raise your hand. Not thinking about or no one's watching you, all heads are down, all eyes are closed. But if that's you, on a count of three, I want you to raise your hands. One, two, three. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Won't we all just pray this prayer together? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your son, Jesus. I know I've tried to do this all on my own, but this day, I'm turning it over to you. I'm giving my life to you. Forgive me for my wrongs. Thank you for your love. This day I declare that you are Lord, that you died for me, and that you rose for me. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for all those that gave their life to Christ. Amen.